I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from Philippians chapter 3 and the first 11 verses. Philippians 3 verses 1 to 11. I have already spoken on these verses in much greater detail in a series of sermons which you can already find on this website. But I want to take an overview, a brief, very brief overview of this section of scripture, Philippians 3, 1 to 11. And what an important passage of scripture it is, how relevant to our circumstances today. The background to this passage is this: it's one of the leading reasons why the apostle wrote to the Philippians. The Philippians, in company with many other churches in the New Testament age, the church at Philippi was being attacked by Judaizers, men who wanted to take believers under the law, as it says, for salvation, Acts chapter 15. But by salvation, they didn't just mean justification, being right with God. They meant the whole shooting match. Salvation included justification, sanctification, glorification, the whole experience of the Christian life, assurance and all the rest of it. These Jewish teachers were saying to believers, it's not enough, it's not right, you're not complete, it's not the work, the complete work, to be in the gospel. You have to have the law, you have to be under the law. And Paul tackled these Judaizers at Corinth, in the Galatian churches, Ephesus, Rome, and here at Philippi. And there's other places throughout the New Testament where the writers, the letter to the Hebrews, for example, they tackle these Judaizers. And the writers of the New Testament will have nothing, will tolerate in no way at all this emphasis upon the law. Now, this passage here, as I say, I have worked it out in greater detail in those other sermons, and I refer you to them. But what does Paul say here? He takes on these Judaizers. Now, I want the overview of this passage. I want to get the flavour of it, because that's the important thing here. We can come to detail, as I say, in those other sermons, but the overarching view of this passage, what is it? Well, it's Christ, my friend. It's Christ. I see Christ, Christ, Christ throughout this passage. He's telling the Philippians, it's not the law, it's Christ. It's not the law, it's the gospel. It's not the law, it's grace. As he says in verse 3, we are the circumcision. We are the true people of God. We who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, the sake of Christ. Then I see here in verse 8, Christ Jesus my Lord. Then verse 8 again, Christ. And then again, Christ. Verse 10, I know Christ. I want to know Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. And when you take the pronouns in as well, it's Christ from first to last throughout this passage. And remember, he's fighting it out every inch of the way with the Judaizers who are preaching law. Christ and law. No, says Paul, it's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. Now, there are Judaizers about today of many shades. There's a spectrum of Judaizers about. Some are overtly Judaizers, calling for a return to the complete Judaistic Old Covenant system. There are many others, though. And there are those who follow John Calvin, openly and some incipiently, hiddenly, preaching that you bring believers under the law, the Ten Commandments in particular, to sanctify them. And all these Judaizers, one form or another, they want believers to come under the law. The law figures very highly in their teaching. Now look at this passage, my friend. Paul is taking on these Judaizers, and he's saying, no, it's not the law, it is Christ. Now, the Judaizers I have in mind are those who are following Calvin, and those who are, without knowing it, following Calvin and preaching rules and regulations instead of the gospel. Now, these friends, they're believers, and they're sincere believers, but they're mistaken in this. Now, what they say is, well, of course, what these Judaizers wanted was circumcision. Now, we're not pleading for circumcision. I agree, these Judaizers in the New Testament times majored on circumcision, and also dietary laws, but circumcision, yes. But as Paul said in Galatians 5:3, it's not just circumcision, that's the tip of the iceberg. What they want, and what it must be, you can't pick and choose with the law. It's all the law, it's all the old covenant, and Paul won't have it. It's not just circumcision, he said, it's the lot. No, he says. And he writes to the Ephesians, the Romans, the Corinthians, the Philippians, the Colossians, and what does he do in all these places? He shows that the believer is not under the law. As says these friends, what you must do is preach the law to sinners to prepare them for Christ. And once you prepare them for Christ, then of course they leave the law then and they go to Christ for salvation. And then they come back under the law. That's what they say, you see. Now let me illustrate that. You go to your doctor. In England we call him a GP. You go to your GP, a doctor. And he says, well, you've got this certain illness. Now I can give you a tablet that will deal with this illness. Now, you must follow these instructions very carefully. You take this tablet, one a day, whatever it might be, you take this tablet for a certain length of time. You measure yourself very carefully, and when you have reached a certain stage, you reach certain symptoms, then you leave off the tablet. Now, that is very important. You leave off the tablet at that point, when you have those symptoms. Then you have a certain set of another set of symptoms which take place in your experience, and once you've had those symptoms, then you come back to the tablet. Now, if you've got that, you take the tablet for a while, but once you reach a certain stage in your experience, then you leave off the tablet, and then once you've had another experience, you come back to the tablet again. This is vital. If you put the tablet in the middle where you shouldn't be having it, all will go wrong. Now, what am I talking about? This is how the Reformed talk. This is how these Calvinistic teachers speak. This is how the law preachers preach. You preach the law to sinners to prepare them for Christ. It convicts them of their sin. Now, once they're convicted of their sin, then you must leave off the law at that point. It's vital. And take them to Christ then. And once they come to Christ and trusted him and received him as their Savior, then you take them back to the law and the law will sanctify them. That's what they teach. Does Paul teach it here? Where is the law in this passage preparing for sinners for Christ? Where is the law in this passage preparing sinners for Christ, I ask again? It's not here. There's plenty about Christ here saving sinners. But there's nothing about the law preparing sinners for Christ. There is no preparation for Christ by the law. Christ knows how to prepare sinners. Preach the gospel, brother, if you're a preacher. Christ will convict and convert. Justification by faith in Christ is here, plain as a pikestaff. Look what he says. He was in verse, look what the apostle says in verse 9. Verse 8, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Justification by faith, right with God, Christ's righteousness, the blood of Christ, he doesn't mention that here, but that washes away our sins, the righteousness of Christ clothes us, and it's all without the law. The law didn't get us there. The law didn't bring us there. The Lord doesn't take us to Christ. There is no preparation for Christ, and Christ saves. You remember the thing? You're under the law to bring you to Christ. You must leave the law at that point and go to Christ. So say the Reformed, you can see. No law here. No, there isn't. There was no law bringing you here either. But the important point for me this in this address is this, verse 10. Verse 10 is very clearly a break. Paul moves very clearly in verses 10 and 11 from justification. We're justified at verse 10. We're righteousness. We have the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. But what does he go on to in verse 10? I want to know Christ. I want to experience Christ. I want to enjoy Christ. I want to feel Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, sharing with him, living with him, talking with him, walking with him day by day in his resurrection and sharing in his sufferings, living in this world, being like him, conformed to him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He's thinking of the life of sanctification here and eternal glory to come. Clearly. He's moved here from justification to sanctification. Now, this is the point where the doctor says, now you must take the tablet now. At verse 10, you see. Getting into verse 9 or up to about there, you need the law to get you there. Paul doesn't say that. Verses 9 and 10, 8, 9 and 10, no law now because you're coming to Christ. But now, says these teachers, verse 10, get back to the law. Paul doesn't say it. But if ever there was a place in Scripture where he should have said it, it's there. I tell you again, the GP, the doctor, would stress this to you. You take the tablet for a while, then you leave off. It's vital you leave it off, and then it's vital that you take it on again when you reach a certain stage. Paul does nothing of the sort. What does he say about the tablet? What does he say about the law? He goes, I consider it loss, rubbish, everything contrary to me. No, he says, and he used the word rubbish here, meaning the detritus, the bones, leftover meat. Throw it to the dogs, he said. The way he speaks about the Judaizers, the way he speaks about their teaching is quite clear to me. He will not tolerate bringing the law into the mixture at all. There is no mixture. It is all of Christ. For justification, for sanctification, for assurance, for glorification, for peace with God, for growing in grace, for all the motivation for living for Christ and all the rest of it. It's all of grace. All of the gospel is all of Jesus Christ. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider for the loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Christ is all. Am I talking to a believer here? Are you struggling with the law, my friend? Are you under one of these Judaistic teachers? You know, they wouldn't say that, but they're urging the law on you. Keep the law in mind, the Ten Commandments, rules and regulations. Keep Christ in mind, my brother and sister. Live for Christ, look to Christ, cry to Christ, talk with Christ. Try to seek God to conform you to Christ. Let Christ be all. It's not rules and regulations and conformity. It's Christ I want. Are you lacking assurance? Christ. Are you lacking hope? It's Christ. Are you lacking joy? It's Christ. Are you lacking liberty? It's Christ. Christ is all. Are you a preacher? Are you preaching the law to sinners? Preach Christ to them. Are you preaching the law to saints? Preach Christ to them. I am determined to know nothing among you, said the apostle, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I appeal to those of you who are trying the law. Muslims, I appeal to you. You think salvation, being right with God, everlasting life, comes by law, by works, by doing, don't you? I tell you, it's doomed to failure, my friend. Come to Jesus. Jesus Christ the Lord. He will clothe you in his righteousness if you seek him. He will wash you from your sins. He will present you faultless before God. Muhammad can't. Only Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Save Jesus Christ. Roman Catholic. Is there a Roman Catholic listening to me? You're trying to earn your salvation, aren't you? your works, your penances, your observances, your rites and ceremonies. Give it up, my friend. Come to Jesus. Cast yourself upon him. He will wash you in his blood from every sin. He will clothe you perfectly. You will have peace with God. There is no condemnation to any man who is in Christ. Come to him. Are you a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon? You're trying to earn some kind of salvation. Come to Christ. He has paid the price for sinners. Look to him. Trust him. Believer, are you looking to the law? Look to Christ. See, this passage applies to us all. Preacher, hearer, believer, unbeliever. Whatever condition we are in, Christ is all. It's the same message. It's the same teaching. It's the same person, the same work for all. Would a man be convicted of sin, converted to Christ, grow in grace, be like Christ, taken to heaven? Christ. What do I have to preach when I preach? Whatever the text, I must seek to preach Christ. The Greek said to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." It's only by seeing and believing and trusting and relying upon Jesus that we can have peace with God and live for his glory. It's not law, it's Christ. It's not law, it's gospel. It's grace. Above all, it is Jesus. You see, it's all in Christ. Oh, again I say to you, believer, are you fearful? Are you depressed? Are you down? Are you anxious? Are you concerned? Are you frustrated? Are you dry? Are you barren? It's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ you need. Come to Jesus again. Let him kindle the love that there is by the Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. May he bring you to love Christ and serve him and walk with him. And if you're an unbeliever, may he bring you, through conviction of sin, to conversion and to a saving experience of Christ. I'll close with this hymn by Augustus Toplady. How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. 'Tis not for works that we have done, these all to him we owe, but he of his electing love salvation doth bestow. To thee, O Lord, alone is due all glory and renown. Aught to ourselves we dare not take, or rob thee of thy crown. In thou wast thyself our surety in God's redemption plan. In thee his grace was given us, long ere the world began. Safe in the arms of sovereign love, we ever shall remain, nor shall the rage of earth or hell make thy sure counsel vain. Not one of all the chosen race, but shall to heaven attain. Here they will share abounding grace, and there with Jesus reign. The final word I'll give to the apostle. I'll start in verse 8, where he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead.